Lord God, take my words this evening on this Christmas Eve and speak through them. Take our hearts this evening and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, King Jesus. Amen. Now, the early service had many children, and I see just as many children here tonight. Because we had many children that were in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and even in their 90s at the early service. Because on a night like tonight, in one way or another, we're all a little like children with the expectation, with the excitement about Christmas. Tonight is Christmas Eve, and tomorrow is Christmas Day, the day that we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to walk through a couple of the scriptures that we've just read. We're going to have a couple slides that I'm going to invite you to read along with me. That way, I can know you're not asleep. It's a silent night, but we're here, and we're here to worship a risen and living King. Even as we celebrate his birth. Now, I know that many of you have seen and many of you have held a newborn baby, moments old. But can you remember? Can you remember what they looked like? Or even better, what they smelled like, those little ones? Their faces all scrunched up, their skin super soft. Some with thick, dark hair or thick, blonde hair. Some bald. I'm not pointing any fingers. Their fingers and toes so tiny with perfect little fingernails and toenails, perfectly formed. Some crying and then some quiet. I remember our first daughter, she was silent for the first few minutes after she was born. And the children, they all wiggle. They're all moving around. Early when they're in their mother's womb, they're able to move, but then as they get bigger, they're more constrained. So when they're born, their arms and legs are flailing as they have life and as they celebrate that life. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 139 that these children aren't formed by chance, but that each child is created, is formed by God. And that's our first slide for tonight, where the psalmist writes this: "For you, Lord, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." The Lord knows every day and every moment prepared for each and every child, even before they're born. I ponder that as I pray for a close friend who just found out that they're pregnant. I pray because the Lord knows the days of that child. The Lord knits and forms together every child, just as the Lord formed and shaped you, every single one of you. He made you. He knew you before you were born. Now, as each of you were born, we celebrate today the most amazing birth ever. Because the baby born on Christmas Day was not just any child. We know that the baby's name was Jesus. We know that his mother was Mary, betrothed to Joseph, yet still a virgin, and she becomes pregnant. We know Jesus' father, his earthly father. But what Mary and Joseph knew was Jesus had a true father, his heavenly father, that gave him life, that sent him to earth to be born in flesh. Jesus, who had been with God forever from eternity. Jesus, who was with God as all things were created. Jesus is one with God. Jesus is God's Son. He was the one that would be born. Now, we know that parents give babies their names. When I was born, my mom and dad named me William Forbes. I was named after my dad's dad, my papa Bill, and also my dad. My middle name, Forbes, came from the middle name of my grandpa John. Then we have four children, and each has part of a name from family and some parts of the name that were just special to us or meaningful to us from Scripture. William Daniel, Abigail Joy, John Forbes, and Virginia Hope. Kim was a happy mama because she had all of her babies in the pew, the second pew there at the earlier service. It's been a long time since we had them all in one place. We gave names to our children. And when you were born, you were each given a name. A name especially picked just for you. And your names mean something. Some of them are biblical, named after a biblical character or a champion. Your names may be from your families, from your ancestors, like some of my family names. They may be names special to your parents, or they may be names created by your parents just for you. But each name is special because it is you. As individual as you are, so is your name. Now, the baby we celebrate on Christmas Day, Jesus, that wasn't his only name. Jesus had more names than any other baby. And Jesus' names weren't given to him by his parents. They were given to him by God and declared by God's messengers through the prophets, through some of Jesus' great, great, great ancestors who proclaimed his names, and through angels. Because remember, it was an angel who appeared to Mary, who told Mary that she would give birth to a child by the power of the Holy Spirit, and she was to name him Jesus. And Joseph, when he was contemplating divorcing and setting Mary aside because she was pregnant, an angel spoke to him, the same angel. He said, "Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. For the child is the Lord's. He is the Messiah. You are to name him Jesus." And Jesus, the Messiah, had many other names, all recorded in Scripture, all recorded for the present generations there and we, the future generations, and generations to follow after us. We heard some of his names in our reading from the prophet Isaiah today. Isaiah, who prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born. We don't have a faith that was just handed to us one time, but this was a faith that spanned the ages. It was a story, God's story. And 700 years before Jesus was born, God told Isaiah about Jesus, so that Isaiah could tell God's people that the Messiah was coming and who he would be and who they should look for. It was all carefully recorded in God's word. God's promises that their Messiah would be born one day, that he would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and that that baby would grow, that baby would live to save them. To save God's people from their sins. From our reading tonight, we read this in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Let's read this together. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This baby is not to be born just to Mary and Joseph," you see. Prophesied 700 years before. This was a baby to be born to us. And not just the us that lived 700 years before Jesus. This is an us that incorporates all of mankind to us, to all of God's people, and to all the nations. In another place in Isaiah chapter 7, God declares this about the baby. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I heard it. Emmanuel. Someone said, God with us. Literally, God spoke through Isaiah, giving a name meaning that God the Son will be born and will be with us. He is God with us, Emmanuel. And that's the good news that we celebrate, the great news that our Savior, the Messiah, is born. And we continue on our reading. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Right now, there's a new Star Wars movie in theaters. Many of you have seen it. Haven't seen it yet? Don't tell me. But in Star Wars, they refer to the government as the Empire. There you go. And the Hebrew word there, translated government, literally means empire. In that context, you can think of the Babylonian Empire, or you can think of maybe later the Roman Empire, but if you think of Star Wars, it's the whole universe, the whole galaxy, everything. The authority, the rule, the responsibility of it all will rest on his shoulders. He carries it all. And then in Isaiah, we hear some of Jesus' names given to him by God. And his name shall be called, what's the first name? Wonderful. That's right, wonderful. Our Bibles translate it Wonderful Counselor, but in the Hebrew, it's actually two names. Wonderful is the first name. And wonderful literally can be translated a miracle. Or another word that some of you may be familiar with, a marvel. You know the word marvel? Some of you in your old comic books, some of you in some of the movies. But Jesus is a marvel like no other. He's a miracle like no other. He's the great marvel. His name will be called Wonderful. Then his name will be called Counselor. Advisor, giving guidance, holding great wisdom, having all knowledge. And his name will be called Mighty God. God of power, or powerful God. This connects this baby to God's power that he will hold. And his name will be called Everlasting Father. Thank you. I knew you're out there. Everlasting Father. He's one with God the Father. Everlasting or eternal Father. He shares God the Father's name. Remember, this is prophesied 700 years before. And then his name shall be called Prince of Shalom. Prince of Peace is how our Bibles translate it. But it's the captain, the head of Shalom. Shalom has such a deeper meaning than we can get from our English word peace. Shalom carries with it a sense of safety, of health, of delight, of friendship, of completeness, of total absolute peace and completeness and wholeness. How many of us tonight are seeking, are yearning for that peace in our lives? Or that peace for a family member or for a friend? His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And then Isaiah continues, God speaking through Isaiah, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Do you hear the good news there? In Jesus Christ, his government never ends. In Jesus Christ, through faith in his name, you can have a peace, a shalom, that will never end. This is not just any ruler, but one who rules through eternity. And then we read this. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, from this time forth and forevermore. This baby to be born in Bethlehem, prophesied centuries before, will rule on the throne of King David. So that makes him a king, but not just any king, the King of Kings. He is to rule on King David's throne, Jewish King David's throne, making him the king of the Jews, the king of God's people. He was prophesied by Isaiah to be a branch from the stump of Jesse, a branch from Jesse, who was King David's father, a branch in the lineage of David. And Jesus was, through his father, his earthly father, Joseph. This is the baby. This is the King of the Jews. Now, how many of you are either Jewish or have some Jewish relatives or some Jewish blood? I'm seeing a few hands. So, is Jesus King of the Jews just good news for those that are Jewish? No. And that's a bigger part of this good news. Jesus is the king of everyone who believes in him. Jesus is the king of the Jews, of God's people. And Jesus is the king of people from every other nation who would turn to him with faith. As the king of the Jews, Jesus carries forth and he completes the mission of his great, 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 not sure how many more, grandfather, Abraham. Abraham, then just Abram, he received a promise, a covenant from God that Jesus completes. And here's that promise. Let's read this together. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God promised Abraham's children would be a great nation. He promised they would be a nation blessed by God. And he promised that they would be a blessing unto all nations. Every other nation. And this is the baby that's born tonight that we celebrate. The Messiah, the King of Abraham's people, he is that blessing unto all nations and unto you and to me. And that is why we celebrate. Jesus was born. He put on flesh. He put on a tiny, vulnerable human body, subjected himself to be born a baby. And yet, even on those little shoulders, he had the authority and all power of the empire, the universe, and all of humanity on his shoulders. He is not just the King of the Jews, but the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. As he got older, in the years of his ministry, Jesus proclaimed, "I am God's Son." Jesus declared, "Everyone who trusts in me will have new life." Jesus knew who he was, and he proclaimed it as good news to all the people. All who trust in him have new life now as you live, and eternal life. And scriptures tell us, and you'll be adopted into his family. There are many families with adoptive stories. at Church of the Redeemer. Mine is one of them. To be adopted means you're a member of your new family forever, with all the rights and privileges of the firstborn child. You are forever a family member in your adopted family. And in Jesus, through faith in his name, you are adopted into that family. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. Ethnicity doesn't matter anymore. In Christ, we are all one. We are in his family, and we are redeemed. In Jesus' name, everyone is adopted, given the gift of new life, and given that peace, that shalom that shall never end. Not just a gift for the Jewish people, but for everyone who believes. And this is the gift we are all reminded of each and every Christmas. There's a reason that the church calendar is cyclical, because we have to be reminded because we forget. This is the gift in Jesus Christ that's offered to every one of you. And it's a gift that you can receive and open and live into as he resides in you and transforms you. Or it's a gift that you can set aside for now, maybe come back to it. Or it's a gift that you could just reject altogether and go another way. But don't be mistaken, it's a gift that's offered to each and every one of you. Jesus is born. Jesus Christ is born. He's the gift of life for everyone who believes, and this is the good news. This is the great news of the gospel, and this is why the angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, they sung praise to the Lord at the top of their lungs. They couldn't hold it in. They had waited for centuries, for eons, from the beginning, knowing God's plan, but not knowing the timing. And now here it was. The Messiah was born, and they broke out into song. And as I told the children and everybody else, the young and old children, I believe the angels weren't just singing. Because you can't sing that kind of praise without moving your body a little bit and dancing. We're Anglicans. I know we have trouble moving. But there was dancing involved, I guarantee you. They could not hold back in their praise and their worship. And this is what we celebrate. This is what we celebrate, the birth of the Messiah, the greatest gift ever. The King of the Jews that was promised, the King from the stump of Jesse, the King from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the King that is the Savior and the Lord, he has been born. Alleluia. So as we continue to sing in our service, I hope you'll think about moving. We're going to sing some Christmas songs. We're going to sing some carols. Move. Don't just stand there. As the newborn babies wiggle, just wiggle a little. But we celebrate tonight with the angels, and we shouldn't be celebrating standing still. Jesus, thank you for the gift of your birth, of your incarnation, of your taking on flesh as the greatest gift. Call to those that have not yet opened that gift and pursue them. Lord, for those of us with faith in your name, set our hearts on fire. Give us your new life. Give us your shalom. Remind us of that peace that never goes away. And shine your light through us into the darkness. All for the glory of your great name. Amen.